Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Today we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. We're going to take a break from our series in Luke for a few weeks. We got some things coming up. We got Valentine's Day coming up, so next week we're going to focus on marriage, and then we'll go on from there. But today we're going to kind of focus on the family and some dynamics that make the family function work. I've entitled it "Winning at Home." And we're going to refer to this a little bit later here. So we're going to talk about that. So Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot to say about a lot of different things, words of wisdom. But it also has some things to say about the family. Now, winning on the football field, winning on the basketball court, wrestling mat, golf course, track field, what else? There's a lot of them out there, right? Those things are fun and they're important, but in the light of eternity, some of those things aren't as important as winning at home. There's some eternal things that happen there that are more important than, really, think about who won the Super Bowl 10 years ago. Okay, who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago? You guessing? Is it the Steelers? All right. All right. Somebody look that up. Make sure he's right. But just think about it. Who won the Super Bowl last year? Who? Bob knows. But even just some year ago, we sometimes it goes into the past. It fades from our memory. Those things aren't nearly as important as some of the things that take place in the home. Now, this Super Bowl seems to be grabbing, I think, a little more attention than normal. Why is that? The brothers are playing against each other. They're both the head coaches. And so that's kind of added some, that's the first time that that has happened where two brothers are coaching the opposing team. So it's creating some things. They were interviewing mom and dad, the Harbaughs, and they, of course, they asked, what are some of the keys? You've raised three kids. They all seem to be successful, two boys and one girl, and they've all been interviewed on the different TV channels and networks. And of course, mom kind of perked up, you know, kind of like, you know, if your kids do well, you know, it's kind of like you want to take a lot of pride in that. And so she said, well, consistency. The dad said enthusiasm for life. I believe he's a coach as well. Am I right in that? I think he was in the coaching field at some point. But he said enthusiasm for life, each and every day waking up with enthusiasm for life. He tried to instill that in his kids. Involvement in their lives, definitely were very involved. And the two brothers commented just on how their mom often kept them up to date on current events, history, and all those things, and just was very influential in their lives, getting them to practices and all that. So they definitely played a key role. But what I've learned as a parent, when your child succeeds, we tend to take a lot of credit for that when our children succeed. And when they don't succeed or they fail or they mess up, we end up taking a lot of blame for it as well. Kind of goes both ways. And parenting definitely is a huge thing, but also you're raising a child that has their own will, their own DNA. At some point in life, they take their own path and make their own choices. And so I think sometimes we take too much credit for a child's success, and at times we take too much credit for a child's failure. Having said that, how can we win at home? Now, what I've learned in our giftings course, which we're going to be starting up on Wednesday night, we offer it a couple times a year, so we're going to be starting up a new class here, course, this coming Wednesday. If you haven't taken it, we encourage everybody in the church to go through that. It helps you out just to kind of know how God's wired you, your personality, your spiritual gifts, your talents, how you can use them for the kingdom of God, and how you can use them in the world, okay? And sometimes some light bulbs come on, and there's some good things that happen for it. It also helps me as a pastor to kind of know how has God wired you so we can kind of get you involved in different ways within the church. We try to get everybody ministering or serving at some level within the church. But a couple of things that we cover in the very first lesson of that is that each person is different. And we discuss how we become who we are. Now, some people believe that we become, you know, who we become is dependent upon our determination. All right? If I am determined and I'm goal-oriented, I can become whoever I want to be. All right? Okay? So if I have my goals all listed out, I'm very driven, and I say, this is what I want to be. I want to be a Michael Jordan. Does that work? No. Now, there is some truth to it. There is some truth when you write out your goals. A lot of times people achieve them. But it's more than that. But people that are very driven often, a lot of times, do accomplish. So there is some truth to that mindset, that theory. But it fails to recognize how God has created us. It fails to recognize the influences of environment and so on. So there is some truth to that. Often motivational speakers use that line. They come into a school or maybe you go to a conference and they get you all excited and they inspire you. And so you're going to do all these great and awesome things and you have all these plans and goals. And sometimes they come to be and sometimes they don't. And sometimes it's not because we're not driven. It's just that maybe our dreams and what we've set out to do don't match what God has equipped us to do. Okay? So there's a second theory that says we are a product of our environment, all right? Now this theory says, you know what, kids turn out good because they've been in a good environment, good family, good schools, good culture, and so they turn out good. Now kids that have problems and where there's issues, it's because they've been part of a bad environment, okay? And this excuse is often used, well, this person gets into trouble and they say, well, you know, they didn't have all the right things, or the person says, you know what, it's my parents' fault, it's so-and-so, all right? There's some truth to that as well. Environment does play a key role in who we become, okay? But it is not the only factor, and the interesting thing is that some people in a very good environment that have the perfect family, that have a perfect upbringing, still go off and do things that aren't right. And then there's kids that come from a less than perfect environment that rise to the top and become very successful. Colin Kaepernick was adopted at a very young age, I think like at 5 weeks of age, born to a teenage mother that gave him up for adoptions. He was fortunately adopted by, sounds like, a very good family. I think a family that knew the Lord and brought him up in the ways of the Lord. I'm sure there was some things to work through and all that. But he rose to the top and overcame them. And so environment does play a role, but it is there again. It's not the only influence. The biblical view is that each of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. I believe Gary Boyer read that a couple weeks ago on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. God has instilled in you some incredible things for you to accomplish and who He wants you to be. You are His workmanship created in the image of God, each one of you. There's not one of you that is the same. Just like a snowflake, there's not one that's the same. In the same way, none of you is the same. You're all different. You're all unique. And God intended it to be that way. You are His masterpiece, and you are His work of art. In our the leadership book, the class we're starting tomorrow night, The Life You've Always Wanted, John Ortberg, in the first chapter, which we'll cover tomorrow night, he talks about Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, and 10 verses. of that. And it says that you are created in the image of God, and you are His workmanship, created in the image of God. Each and every one of us here today is, you're God's workmanship. And you're His masterpiece, and you're the only one that He made, just like you. Everybody say amen? All right. It's a good thing. Can't handle two more of you. All right. No, just... My wife said amen too, so. But he brings that point forward that we are God's masterpiece, created in the image of God. Each of us is important to God. But you know what? As a whole, as we look at our culture, our families are struggling, and I believe in our nation. Okay? Divorce is high. You look at just our culture, our prisons are full. There seems to be a lot of dysfunction in our world today. And at Radiant Springs, one of our goals, one of our kind of core values is we want to really help to build up the family and strengthen the family. And parenting is not an easy thing. And so as we look at this, we've looked at different passages when we've talked about parenting. I want to take us to Proverbs today and glean what we can take from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs was written by who? Say it loud. Solomon, who was the son of David, right? And Solomon was probably one of the wisest men at that time by far, and maybe even in history. God, that's one of the things that Solomon said. God came to him and says, I'll give you anything you want, Solomon. And Solomon says, give me wisdom to rule your people. And because he asked for wisdom, God says, not only am I going to give you wisdom, but I'm also going to give you success. I'm also going to give you fame and fortune. All right, and so one of the books that Solomon had to write and put down in words was the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs are these words, these sayings of wisdom, okay? And he touches upon a variety of things. Now, a proverb is not a promise. I want to state that right up front. A proverb is not a promise. A promise is something that is going to come true all the time, okay? A proverb is something that comes true 99.9% of the time, okay? It's a proverb. If you do this certain thing, usually you're going to get this result. It's a proverb. It is not a promise. And I want to make that distinguishing mark because of our first verse that we're going to read, and even the second ones. They are words of wisdom that if you follow them, most likely you're going to get that result. So the first one I want us to look at is Proverbs 22:6. You've probably heard this, but Proverbs 22:6 says, train your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will what? He won't depart from it. Train your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, he doesn't say teach your child in the way he or she should go. He says train. And that word train is a little bit more involved than just teach. Okay? To train means that as a parent, you have to kind of take on that coaching role. All right? And in the view of Solomon, the author of Proverbs here, he sees that there's two ways that a child can go. Okay? Two ways. Either he can choose the path of life or the path of death. He can choose the path of righteousness or unrighteousness. He can choose the path of honor or the path of dishonor. He can choose the path that leads to success or the path that leads to disaster. There's two paths that a person can travel down. And so Solomon says, train your child in the way he should go to choose the right path, and when he is old, he will not depart from him. Training involves, I believe, at least three different things. It involves teaching. You can write these down, and some of this is in your notes. It involves teaching. It involves modeling, okay? And it involves discipline. And so teaching. You have to teach a child what they should do. Okay? And this even works in the workplace as well. You teach somebody what they should do, and then you model it for them. You show them how to do it. So you do it with them, and then you let them do it while you're there, and then you let them do it on their own. But you model it for them. Show them how it is done, especially for kinetic learners, people that are very hands-on. It's important, that modeling process is very important. There's some people that they can hear it once and they know what to do. Some people have to actually get the hands-on and do it. But you teach and then you model for them, and then you correct or you discipline. And some of you maybe like to discipline and just really lay down the law, and that's probably not my strength, okay? My wife is much more better for it. I don't know, I think she really cares to do it, okay? But she's more consistent than I am, and I probably defer to her too much of the time. But discipline is so important. In fact, Proverbs says if you save the rod, or in other words, he's saying save discipline, it is actually like hating your son or daughter. To not discipline them is to actually hate your son or daughter. To discipline and to correct means that you actually love them. And Paul says in Ephesians, you know, you can't be overbearing, you can't do it harshly. There's loving direction and discipline. But training involves teaching, modeling, discipline. And much of it's similar to being a coach. A coach has to do that, right? So today's Super Bowl Sunday. And I can guarantee you those coaches are out there. They're telling their players what they need to do. And at times they're out there, okay, you have to get this technique down. They're modeling for them, okay? And they're also correcting. Now, last week, I believe Nebraska was playing Northwestern. And so Tim Miles is the new coach there. He's in his first year at Nebraska men's basketball program. It struggled for many, many years. Now they're in the Big Ten. And but I believe they're playing Northwestern. And it was their, I think, first at-home win in the Big Ten. They beat Penn State the week before. But it was a close game. Started off in the first quarter, and things weren't going well, and the Nebraska players knew that they were supposed to block out, possibly. They knew what to do. But they weren't boxing out, you call it, on offense. They weren't getting their rebounds because of that. And so Tim Miles, you could tell he was frustrated, called timeout, got them over to the sideline, and he got into each of their faces, and he chewed them out. Okay? Now, he's a pretty fun guy. And when he's interviewing, he's fun, funny. He's a good communicator. But he was pretty intense at that moment. You don't see him like that all the time. Usually he's pretty encouraging, uplifting, has a smile on his face. But he got in their face. And after that, they got out there and they rebounded and they ended up winning the game. And none of the players were upset with him because they knew what they were supposed to do, but they weren't doing it. And they needed their coach to say, get your act together. You know what you're supposed to do. Now get it done. And they went out there and they got it done. Discipline isn't always an easy thing. And as a parent, we have to find that balance of teaching, modeling, and discipline. That is what I believe it means to train your child in the way they should go. Now, I believe that Solomon was mainly concerned about this area of morals, of choosing a godly way for a child's life. So the first one in your notes there's three different things under that point. The first one's morals. Train your child in the way they should go. That involves morals, teaching them what is right and what is wrong. They pick that up from how you teach them, okay? We teach them every day in, day out, maybe reading the Bible. You teach them, you bring them to church. They hear that reinforced in their Wednesday night class and on Sunday mornings. But they're being reinforced. They see that modeled in your life, okay? Now, if you say one thing and do the other, guess what that does? Kind of overrides what you taught them, doesn't it? In fact, probably what we model is a stronger teacher than what we say. And so we teach them, we model for them, and then we correct. When they get out of line, when they do something wrong, we correct them. And that may take several different forms. It may be a timeout. It may be we don't like to use that word spanking anymore in our culture, but I think there is if it's done correctly at a young age, I believe there is some benefit to that. Okay? But to do those things and raise them up in the ways of the Lord. And I know as a parent, sometimes parents feel that they are fighting a losing battle when it comes to morals in our culture, whether it's the influence of friends or just the media. But you know what? They've done studies, and guess who is the most influential person or people in the lives of a teenager? Mom and dad. mom and dad. So you may feel like you're fighting a losing battle, but you're not. You are the most influential person in their life. And so step up to the plate, teach, model, and discipline. Train them in the ways of the Lord. And when they are old, 99.9%, 9999, they're going to follow the ways of the Lord. And having witnessed that in the lives of a lot of people, sometimes they may even make some detours. You know, they detour, they go off the track a little bit, but a lot of times they come back. Amen? Teach them. Morals. Secondly, I believe life skills. You teach them how to live life. What are some life skills? Cooking. Yeah, I didn't have that one down. Cooking. Teach them how to cook. Yeah. How to do laundry. You know, I think all of our boys do their own laundry. I don't know how we did that, but they do. In fact, they're very picky about how some of their clothes are washed. So, yeah. Cooking, laundry, how to get dressed, right? At least, you know, not only, you know, that you get the right clothes in the right place, but also that they kind of coordinate and look good, they match, right? Change oil, yeah. Yeah. Those are important things. How to eat without making a mess. I remember Aaron on his first birthday, he had his birthday cake and it was all over him, all over everywhere. And it kind of freaked him out, I think, a little bit. And he cried. And eventually they do kind of clean up and eat neater. But it's just all those skills that we learn, disciplines, to teach, model, and to discipline. Those are so important to teach them life skills. The third one is being. Okay, B-E-I-N-G. Being. Each child has their own personality and their own uniquenesses, their gifts and talents. Now, the only case that there might be a very close resemblance would be in probably an identical twins. But see, the interesting thing, they did an interview with Jim and John Harbaugh. Jim is with the San Francisco 49ers. Okay, how many are going for the 49ers? Yeah, of course, Kent is back there, yeah. Anybody going for the Baltimore Ravens? Ray Lewis? All right. How many don't care? Looks like a lot of you don't care. All right. Okay. But Jim and John, they're brothers. They were both raised in the same family, same parents, same DNA, but they are totally different. They're both coaches of NFL football teams, but they're totally different. They did an interview on ESPN. Anybody see that? Friday morning. Okay, John was up there, and he was dressed in a what? Suit and tie. Okay? And he was pretty polished. His hair is looking nice. He's a very good communicator, just very congenial, communicates in detail, just kind of polished in every way. Now, Jim, on the other hand, came in what? Yeah, he kind of had a San Francisco T-shirt on, long-sleeve T-shirt, and I don't know if he had jeans or Dockers on. And he's not much a man for words, and they are night and day different. And the commentators made a note of that. You know what? They share the same DNA, the same upbringing, but they are totally different guys. But they both have found a way to succeed at coaching. They both led their teams through the regular season and into the playoffs and now to the big game. And so, but they're probably doing it totally different. They probably coach their players totally different. But their parents must have had the wisdom enough to understand how God had wired them each differently and to bring those skills and the giftings to the top and to guide them in the way that they should go. You know, I think a challenge as a parent is that you see this every once in a while where parents want their children to kind of fulfill their unexpected dreams or unfulfilled dreams, want them to become who they want them to become and not so much what the child is equipped and geared to do. But I think the fun thing as a parent is to recognize the personality of each child and how God has wired and gifted them and to help them to discover and to find their way in God's big kingdom and His plan for their life. You get to be a part of that process, to guide them down that path, help them in that road to discovery, and discovering who they are, to find God's plan for their life. And, you know, even going through life, I think some adults go through a lot of life before they kind of figure out, you know what, wow, this is the way God made me. This is the way He's created me. And I've had adults we take through the giftings class, and the spouses look at each other, and it's kind of like the light bulb comes on, thinking, the person says, man, I never knew I was like that. And the spouse looks at them and says, really? I have known that for a long time. But yeah, our spouse will see it, but we don't see it. And it's kind of like, wow, God has gifted me like that. And we can build off of personality and giftings, pursue what God has called us to do. Train your children in the way they should go, whether it's in the area of morals, life skills, and who they are, their being. And when they are old, they won't depart from it. Amen? That's a proverb that we can hang on to. I don't know if we can necessarily say it's a promise, but I believe it is definitely a proverb that if we follow, God will honor it. Number two, this is for you, children. All right, where are my children at here? Okay, raise your hand. All right, do I have your attention here? Okay, I'm scanning for them. All right, there they are. The next one's for you, Proverbs 8 and 9. Okay, it's going to be up on the screen. Now, you guys need to read this with me. Can you read it with me? All righty. Okay, listen. Say it with me. Listen, my son. We'll say and daughters. We're going to put that in there, okay? And daughters to your father's, and we'll say mother's, instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Why? It will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Okay, so this is my garland here. All right, does that look good? You want one, don't you? I'll tell you how you can get one in just a moment. All right? Children, you are to obey or listen. That word listen means to more than just hear. And I'm positive that kids have selective hearing, okay? All right? They hear what they want to hear, all right? But that's not what listening is. Listening is hearing with the intent to obey and to follow through. And so the Scripture, not only in Proverbs, but also in Ephesians and Colossians, says, children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, because this is the first commandment with a promise. You know what the promise is, children? You will live a long life. It means you'll get past the age of 5, okay? Because your parents won't kill you, all right? If you obey. I'm just teasing, all right? But the promise is that if you obey your parents, you're going to live a long life. And everyone's really, yeah, you'll live it past those few years, all right? But that is the promise of Scripture. And to listen to your parents' instruction, their teaching, their guidance, to learn through their correction and discipline. And so Solomon gives the metaphor of obedience like this garland here, a fine necklace that one would bring. It brings attractiveness and beauty to a person's life when they listen and obey their parents' instruction. It adorns their life as they listen. And so at the end of service today, each parent can come up and they can get enough of these for their children, and the elementary and preschool kids are first, and then if the teenage middle schoolers want one, they can get one. So they are party ready for tonight. All right, they can get one as well. Okay, but the younger kids get to go first. They can get them from Josh and Karen. You get enough for each child, okay? All right, kids, do I have your attention? All right. Now, the key to this is your parents just can't take it home and give it to you. They have to observe you obeying, okay? And when they observe you obeying, you get this, all right, to adorn your neck. So if it were me, I would pay attention so you get it for tonight, okay? Because this would be pretty cool for tonight, all right? All right? Now, if by next Sunday you haven't gotten yours, we know that you have some work to do, okay? Parent, it is your judgment to determine when they have obeyed you and listened, and you can pass that on to them. All right? Children, what? You are to what? Obey your parents. Children, I need to hear you on that. I heard the parents. All right. All on the count of three, children, you have to say that. Children, obey your parents. All right. All right. Point number three. Point number three isn't found in our passage. It comes more from experience. It's found in the Bible, but it comes more from experience. And it just simply says, everybody pray. Everybody pray. You know what? I've learned in parenting that there are no guarantees in raising a family. There are no guarantees. And I just know growing up, I was a young boy. I'm probably sure I know I made my share of mistakes. But I know that my mom prayed an awful lot, probably because of me. And I know there was prayer played a vital role in, because I know there was some key points in my life where I could have made some big mistakes. And somehow God navigated me through those and led me down the right path, and my sisters as well. I just believe that prayer played a very key role and a vital role. Life happens, and I believe it's so important as parents pray, as families pray together, God is able to then do His part. God's able to do His part. And even sometimes when things kind of don't look very pretty at the time, God is able to work in ways that we don't understand and in ways that we cannot. And I think that's the thing as a parent, you realize there's only so much you can do, right? There's only so much you can do. You can raise them up in the ways of the Lord. You can do everything right. But that's all you can do. You cannot make their decisions. They can't be 40 years old and you're still making every decision for them. It doesn't work. All right? Usually around that age, 18, and a lot of times before that, they're spreading their wings and they're saying, okay, this is who's boss. And you have to kind of rein that in a little bit. But praying is so important because as we release them to become who God has called them to become adults, I believe prayer plays a key role because God ultimately is in control. And He can watch over their lives. He can direct their course. And parenting, like nothing else, will either humble you or, you know, at one moment it can make you so proud and the next minute it can really humble you. And so I believe in the power of prayer, to pray and to see God do His work in the lives of our children and in our family. God answers prayer. That is a promise. And He grants wisdom and He intervenes in the lives of our children. You know, as a parent, you think you have it all figured out. You entered into parenthood and you got it all figured out. You know all the right things. And then life happens and you have children and it's kind of like, what worked for one child doesn't work for the other child. And you feel like you have to learn parenting all over again. Say, God, I need wisdom. And He does. You know what? God's so faithful. Because He's promised that if we lack wisdom, He will grant it to us. That's the promise in James. And God will grant us the wisdom that we need. You know, maybe you are a young person here. Maybe you're here when your parents aren't here. Maybe things weren't perfect at home. Maybe there was dysfunction. Maybe you're in a less than ideal situation. You know what? God can give you wisdom too. God can give you wisdom. It works both ways. And when we pray, God works and is able to work and do more than we can ask, think, or even imagine. I'm going to have the musicians come if they would. So how do we win at home? Three things. Parents, what do? Train your children in the way they should go. And when they are old, they won't depart from it. Children, what? Obey your parents. All right? And what are we all called to do? Pray. And if we do that, I believe that we can win at home. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be challenges, there's not going to be hurdles. You know, every football game is going to have its challenges. San Francisco, I think both of the teams have come behind in their victories in the playoffs. I know San Francisco, was it the championship game that they came from? They were behind by 2 touchdowns, I think. Kaepernick even threw an interception on the opening drive. Kind of like, man, you could just give up. But you keep plugging away, doing what you're supposed to do, doing the right things, and it turns around. Parenting's a lot like that. There's days you want to throw in the towel and say, man, I give up, I quit. God, what were you thinking of when you created this parenting thing? Why don't they just pop out as adults?